Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. And, of course, I hope you guys enjoyed the Hagman Show on Friday. Definitely had a fun time, as always, on that show. And it's a magnificent Monday down here in Florida, getting stuff rolling out. Everybody getting your orders to you as quick as we physically can. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely great. I've got a lot of news to cover today. And it was interesting, yesterday I had a friend of mine, because, you know, Harrison wants to be a college professor, your younger brother, and wants to get a law degree and a PhD. And he's finishing his MBA right now, or just started on about a month ago at Florida State. And I had a friend of mine who's a long-term attorney, graduated from Stetson like 50 years ago. He also attended undergraduate school at Florida State. And I'm getting to a point here in a second. Give me a second. He was at the house here yesterday, and I was talking to him about police. And I told him about my episode years ago at the BMW dealership, in which basically everybody lied and three out of the five involved in all of this mess with me ended up getting fired and everything was dismissed against me because of the lies. And he told me, he said he never believed when he was in law school, he never believed when he was going to law school, he never believed when he first became an attorney that police officers would lie. He says that's all they do is lie. He says they lie on the stand, they lie under oath, they lie while they're being deposed, they lie while they're basically under investigation. He says they never stop lying. And he goes, it's ridiculous. And I wanted to start off with a story today. Here's a cop in Baltimore, and he says, I've tarnished the badge. The leader of a rogue Baltimore police unit gets 25 years in prison. These guys never stop lying. And I'm not, now guys, 90% of them aren't like this, but there are about 10% of the cops out there that are just absolutely awful. Two other cops involved in the corrupt Baltimore Police Gun Trace Task Force, Hendricks and Ward, were sentenced today. Each received 7 years in prison. Last month, Thomas Allers repeatedly pleaded guilty to 9 robberies. He was robbing people while he was on duty between 2014 and 2016, was sentenced to 15 years behind bars. And what's funny here, this guy did 9 robberies. Normally, 9 robberies, 9 armed robberies, you would get life in prison. He's going 15 years. Yeah. Former police sergeant Wayne Earl Jenkins was sentenced to 25 years in prison for Thursday for leading the Rogue Gun Trace Task Force of the Baltimore Police Department. The investigation has forced the department, now get this, guys, get this, has forced the department and city prosecutors to throw out more than 1,700 criminal cases and convictions that the officers corrupted with their involvement. BBC reported Tuesday that Jenkins pleaded guilty participating in 10 robberies of citizens as well as planting drugs on crime scenes and selling confiscated drugs back to the streets. He will serve an additional 3 years of supervised release following the 25-year sentence. He goes, I'm wrong. God knows I'm wrong, Jenkins says, and I'm so sorry to the citizens of Baltimore. No, he's not. He's sorry he got caught. Now, what's crazy about all of this stuff is this. We have told you guys over and over and over, when they search your vehicle, if they don't like you, if suddenly they decided to go after you because they don't like the way you smiled at them or the way you pulled over or whatever, and they drop a bag of something or other in the back of your car and they ask to search it and they find it, you're going to jail. And that's exactly what these guys were doing. They were planting drugs, planting guns, stealing guns, stealing, robbing stuff. I mean, unbelievable, Austin, that this is going on in the police departments around the country and in Baltimore in particular, such a large city. And it doesn't surprise me, but again, it goes back to what we always tell our listeners, use your constitutional rights. Okay, when someone asks you, may I search your vehicle? No, sir, my attorney's not present. I have to have my attorney present before I allow you to search my vehicle. Or if you're using your daddy's car and you're listening to the show today, no, my daddy's not here right now. You may not search this vehicle. It does not belong to me. Guys, this happens all the time, and finally these guys are going to jail. But guys, there are thousands, and I'm not exaggerating now, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of cases just like this all over the country in the past 20 years that were never caught, never went to jail, and there are a bunch of people sitting in jail right now who are innocent, who are basically set up by corrupt police officers. Now guys, I know if you're a cop and you're listening to this right now, you're not liking what I'm saying, but doggone it, you know I'm right. 90% of the police out there, I love them, and I totally respect them. I will defend them. I will go after them. If somebody's shooting at them, I will go beside them, and I will defend them with my life to protect them. But guys, there are 10% of the police out there that are so bad, so corrupt, so awful. We had people down here in Lakeland, Florida, They got busted in a big sting with CNN. They were making women basically get undressed to search for drugs. And, I mean, they were having sex with women on duty. All this crazy stuff. And the guys that were involved with my case, they basically ended up, you know, getting fired. I had three of these guys basically arrest me for going through a seatbelt check that I had a seatbelt on. And so I'm sitting at the BMW dealership having ice cream. These guys show up with five squad cars, grab me, drag me, throw me in the car, handcuff me, and tell me that I didn't stop at a seatbelt check, which I was wearing my seatbelt. They said they claimed they had waved at me. Don't even know, never even saw a squad car. I mean, I'm in a little short car, a little small car. And what ended up happening is they put me in their car with my gun in my pocket, never searched me. Finally, I'm looking down at my hips. I'm going, gosh, I've got a .45 Kimber sitting in my pocket with a hammer pulled back with one in the chamber. I said, this is really bad. This is how I get shot. This is stupid. So I kept trying to tell them that I had a gun in my pocket. They kept telling me to shut up. Finally, I said, look, my name's not Shut Up. You need to get this gun out of my pocket. What? You got a gun in your pocket? Why did you tell us that? I said, I did tell you. I've been telling you. Nobody listens. They got me out, saw the concealed weapons permit, realized that they had basically messed up big time, and rather than being there and being adult human beings and saw that they had done something wrong and then basically just say, we're going to drop all of this stuff, we're so sorry we did this, or give me a ticket for window tint or whatever I had on my car, they basically at that point decided to file two criminal charges against me for failure to comply with a police department official or fire department official for not stopping during a traffic check for seatbelts while I was wearing my bright red seatbelt. And, you know, the whole thing is crazy, guys. And, of course, the entire thing was thrown out of court. But here's the thing that got me mad. And I'm going into more detail with you guys than I've ever talked about this before because it's been so many years ago now. What got me so mad is I wrote a letter to the police department, the chief of police, who was fired because of running a corrupt department. And I told her, I said, look, I said, here's the deal. I got a case with you guys right now, but I'm not as concerned about that as I am the fact that your officers are so poorly trained that they throw me into the back of a squad car keeping a gun in my pocket. I said, are you kidding me? And she ended up basically calling it an internal affairs investigation twice. And why they do it twice? Because both times the officers involved said, nobody arrested Ted Brower. Nobody put handcuffs on Ted Brower. Nobody put Ted Brower in the squad car. We don't know how he got in the squad car. We don't know what you're talking about. Guys, as the good Lord is my witness, that's what happened. The whole thing was just, and I finally learned something at that point. That when these cops are bad, and finally, one of the cops who was sitting there, I think his name was Garcia, he said to me, and I was sitting in the back of the squad car, he let me out after he saw the gun in my pocket, and I was standing there talking to him, he goes, I'm not involved in anything they're doing to you today. I'm completely opposed to what they're doing right now and how they're acting. I'm not involved in any of this. That's what he said to me. So he was the good cop. The other guys were like idiots. And again, two out of three of these people involved with all of this mess got fired. And of course, they were also involved in the other big sting that happened in the Lakeland Police Department. But guys, I read this thing in Baltimore today, and it hacked me off so bad, and it made me think, how many people out there right now are in jail, right now, listening to us right now, because some cop dropped drugs in their car, some cop dropped a gun in their car, some cop made up a story like they did with me, and they didn't. And I had the money to defend it with one of the top criminal attorneys here in Central Florida until the case was dismissed and went away. And guys, how many times does stuff like that happen to a person who doesn't have the ability to defend it, who has to get a state attorney basically appointed to them by the state, the defense attorney, who basically doesn't care if he's there, if he's in bed, if he's drunk, if he's sober. He doesn't care because his career is completely dumped out most of the time because he's a defense attorney for the state getting minimum payments for that. Guys, think through what these guys are doing, and they're being put in jail for running drugs, confiscating drugs, and doing robberies while they were on the job. Austin, I read this today, and it got me so mad it brought back what happened to me a decade ago. And guys, it's just incredible to me that people like this are given badges and given guns and told to defend the population. What do you think, Austin?
It is sad. It's very sad because we've run into a point now in this country where even the law enforcement departments, the sheriff's departments, in a lot of cases now, it's not even that some of them are so corrupt, because we see ones like this, and they're just beyond corrupt. We see this. But we see the point now where law enforcement is becoming so tyrannical on so many levels, to a point of a full-blown police state is starting to erupt nationwide in a lot of departments, not all of them, but a lot of them, through the military-industrial complex feeding of the police department through Homeland Security's policy. We've given these guys MRAP vehicles, armored police vehicles, machine guns, body armor, night vision, drones, helicopters, you name it, they've gotten it from the military. So in most cases now, these guys truly do think they are above the law. It's funny, Dad brought that up, because Lakeland has been a very controversial place in the state of Florida for law enforcement. Before this incident with Dad, a few years before this is back when I was in college, a long time ago, I was about 18 years old, I had a very similar run-in as well that was actually escalated very abruptly with law enforcement. I was driving on my way, and I ran a red light. And I mean, I barely ran this red light. I was literally halfway through the intersection when the thing dropped yellow to red. So, but regardless, didn't matter. Got pulled over by one of the LPD's finest. They stopped me. I pulled over. I was driving a regular cab, F-150. Me and my buddy were driving it. He was in the passenger seat. And the time, the truck was still registered to Dad. I was 18. I was in college. So it was basically one of our work trucks that I was driving. And so they came up the window. I gave my license registration. They said, "Do you know what happened?" I said, "Well," I said, "I was going through that light." I said, "I thought I made it all the way." And they said, "Well, no, you ran it." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, I'm not going to argue with you." I said, "You pulling me over for whatever." Well, at that point in time, another officer came over to the passenger window, and at the time, my friend and I both had Mossberg 12-gauge shotguns that we'd go hunting with all the time. We'd go bird hunting. We'd go hog hunting. We live in Florida. I live literally 15 miles away from the Green Swamp, 65,000 acres of Ridgeland, premier hunting property for deer, hogs, anything you could think of. We have it out there. I was in college, did that all the time. Pretty much every weekend we were out there. So he comes up to the window, and the first thing he sees is the backside of a 12-gauge sticking out from underneath the seat, because we're in a regular cab, remember? And so there's just guns everywhere. I got 12 gauge on the seat here, 12 gauge on the seat in the back, box of shells, you know, big old K-bar knife for gun stuff. And so he immediately goes berserk, you know, starts screaming and cussing at us. We both the doors get opened up immediately. We both get drug out of the vehicles immediately. And he goes, "Why do you guys have guns in the truck?" And I said, "I'm 18 years old. I'm lawfully able to own a firearm in the state of Florida that is a 12 gauge shotgun registered to me. The other one's registered to my friend. They're both completely legal. They're on papers. There's nothing illegal about them. They're not Class 3 weapons. I have no idea why you guys are acting like this." Well, they immediately go berserk, put us in handcuffs. I mean, I'm talking full blown, start figuring out what they're going to do. Well, immediately the one officer walks over to me and goes, "I'm searching the vehicle." And I said, "Oh, contraire, you are not searching my vehicle. You have no pretext to search my vehicle. I've not broken any significant laws other than a traffic violation. You do not have my consent." And he goes, "Well, I'm searching it anyways." I said, "No, you're not. You do not have my consent to search my vehicle." I said, "If you want to bring the dogs out here and you want to smell the truck, they're not going to bark. They're not going to do anything. You do not have a legal right to search my vehicle because of a Second Amendment being exercised in my vehicle. I've not brandished a weapon. I've not showed a weapon. I have not pointed a weapon, nor have I threatened anybody with a weapon. You have no right to search my vehicle." He goes, "I don't care. I'm searching it anyways. I want to know why you guys have shotguns." I said, "I'm in handcuffs, and there's nothing I can do about it, so there's not a whole lot that I can physically do to stop you." So sort of, they searched my truck, pulled my blade out, pulled the guns out, pulled the ammo out, completely and totally had a meltdown, couldn't figure out why in Polk County, when every single person I know has a shotgun in their truck, we had shotguns in our truck. So finally, they write us a written arrest. Instead of going to jail, they write us for misdemeanor, open carry of a firearm in a public environment. I kid you not, that's what they write me up for having a 12 gauge in my truck. Gun was not visible. Remember this, guys. It was under the seat. You could not see the gun. You couldn't see the gun if you didn't, unless you had your head in my window pestering me with a flashlight like they were doing. So they seize the weapons. They seize the ammunition. They write us written arrest to appear in court. So immediately I get on the phone with Dad and I get an attorney down in Bartow, because I told him, I don't know what in the world's going on with this. So we go to the attorney. He pulls up the report. He talks to the prosecuting attorney. He basically calls him up. He goes, "Dude, I don't know what's going on with this." He goes, "You guys got two college students. You're arresting them for open carry of a firearm when they have legal shotguns in their truck." So the prosecuting attorney looked at it. they eventually made no bill, which means it just gets dropped. It doesn't go to court. It doesn't do anything. It just gets dropped. Well, it got dropped, completely no bill, charges dropped, everything. Lakeland Police Department refused to issue me my firearms back. We had the attorney call them. I called them. We even sent them papers showing that the charges were no bill. They said, sorry, this is still under investigation. We're not giving you the firearms back. So finally, I finally got Dad back involved in it again. He goes, okay. He calls them up, and he goes, this is what's going to happen. We're going to file theft charges on you. We're going to file multiple charges against the police department and the officers involved for theft of property, unwilling to give property back after charges have been dropped, and a numerous other, every single possible charge we can come up with, we're about to file them with the attorney on Monday, or we want the firearms released today. And sure enough, they said, okay, we're going to call you back in about 30 minutes. 30 minutes, they call us back and said, come get your guns now. They're ready to get pulled out of inventory. So we go down there, and boy, the officer, because she was the one that wrote it up, she was the one that had to write it out of inventory and had to give it to us, and she was irate. And I just looked at her and said, thank you for my stuff. I'm glad this didn't have to escalate anymore. And she was one of the officers that did end up getting fired, along with numerous other officers that got fired after the Lakeland Police Department did incidences like this and to Dad and probably 100 to 500 other people that we even knew about over the course of a couple years, completely and totally violating the civil liberties of American citizens without any due cause whatsoever. So that was my stunt with Lakeland PD. That was Dad. So when we tell you guys we've been involved in this stuff and we don't do anything illegal, yet we still get wrapped up in police department nonsense, we have personally seen it, been involved in it, gotten the cases dropped. But the problem is, guys, think about it. What if I didn't know what was going on? What if Dad didn't know what was going on? What if we didn't know how to get this dropped? What if I didn't know an attorney in Bartow? What if I had to go to court and stand before a judge and prove to them why I had the right to carry a firearm and say I didn't do a good job at it? Say my public defender sucked. And he goes, I don't know what to do. We could just ask him for your guns back. And we lose the case. And I get charged with open carry of a firearm. Now I no longer can have a concealed carry permit. I can no longer go to college anymore. By the way, you guys didn't know that. If you get charged with open carry of a firearm with basically any type of intent to do ill will with it, you will not get into a college, period. If you go to file and they pull that charge up and it was an active charge that you got charged with, you will not go to any college in anywhere in the country, period. And then after I'm charged with it, I would never get the firearms back whatsoever. So I would lose my property and my Second Amendment rights, all on the premise that the law enforcement individuals are basically acting as they are the judge, jury, and executioner. And they can do anything they want to you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Even when I tell him three times in front of multiple people, multiple witnesses, he is not legally able to search my vehicle, and he does not have my consent, he still did it anyways. That's why you have to do the best you can to make sure you convey your message aggressively but respectfully, and if they fail to do that, as long as you have witnesses there, most of the time you can work things out. But this stuff that's going on all over the country, it has gotten massively out of control, and we have to start standing up for our rights and knowing our laws and knowing our rights, so when situations like this happen, you don't fall prey to some of these guys that are vicious, vicious predators, Deb.
Well, some of these guys are just on major steroid cycles. I'm just going to be blunt. I mean, I've worked out at the gym with multiple cops over multiple years who were basically had injectables doggone in their gym bags, and they were shooting up with testosterone and Anavar and HGH and everything else. I mean, I'm talking injections, completely illegal, using steroids, getting unbelievably roid raged, and they'll trigger on you because they just look for an excuse to beat people. And guys, that's not a lot. When I was a kid, Austin, you know, we kind of were raised in Mayberry here in Auburndale with 5,000 people. 5,000 cities had 5,000 people. Now it's got 10,000 people, still pretty small. And it said on the side of the police cars, to protect and to serve. Protect and to serve. And if you got into trouble, you know, when you were a kid, they would basically throw you in the car, take you home, chew you out in front of your parents, and leave. That was it. And they tried to be as best they could be, you know, counselors and everything else. They wouldn't try to basically put you in jail and put you under the jail. But then you get cities right next to us like Lakeland that had gotten so corrupt internally that they basically were out of control. And I remember the sheriff in our town, Grady Judd, he went in there and cleaned it up. In fact, it was to the point. I can't say this. This was part of, I can't tell. It's confidential. But let me put it to you this way: it's really good to know the sheriff in your county. It's good to know him on a first name basis. Grady Judd goes to church with me. It's the First Baptist Church at the mall. He's a friend of mine. He's our sheriff. And it's really good to have people that you know who know that you're legit and that you're not some nutbag and that you're a law-abiding citizen and you believe in the rule of law. And when you have a problem like this, they are quick to defend you. By the way, let's talk about Hollywood for a second. Why I don't see Robert the Foul-Mouthed De Niro's movies ever and why I won't pay for Robert the Foul-Mouthed De Niro's movies ever, as far as if he's new on a screen. I mean, he has basically Trump bashed Trump. I mean, he's a Trump basher. De Niro, and basically they've come in now, and they'd rather see, you know, that Maher's the same way. They hate Trump so much, they'd rather see America get sucked into war and into a recession than for him to succeed. Now, that used to be called treason here in the United States. Robert De Niro marched into last night's Tony Awards show like a man possessed, exuding raw fury, menacing from every pore. Now, this is by Piers Morgan, which blows my mind. Piers Morgan is defending Trump, right? And he goes, if you could morph the most violent, unhinged, on-screen characters into one of the smoldering carcass of molten human hatred and ferocity, then this was the hybrid beast. Okay, I got to read that again. That was really well written. I doubt Piers Morgan wrote that, but somebody wrote that. I'm going to read it again. If you could morph his most violent, unhinged, on-screen characters into one smoldering carcass of molten human hatred and ferocity, then this was that hybrid beast. That was really well spoken, by the way. De Niro was part Max Caddy, part Travis Bickle, mixed up with lashings of Jake LaMotta and Jimmy Conway. I have no idea who those people are. I guess they were characters he had played. And he was intent on unleashing a verbal weapon of mass destruction at the man he despises more than life itself, Donald J. Trump. Okay, now then he basically screamed F Trump right in the middle of this live broadcast. Now, guys, I'm going to stop for a second. A few years ago, here's why I don't like Robert De Niro. I was okay with him because years ago he was basically he's got a son who's got autism, and he knows the son has autism because of the vaccinations. He's publicly stated that, and he was going to air a movie called Vaxxed at the Tribeca Film Festival. And what happened is he basically was pushed by the Rothschild folks who run Hollywood not to air this basically documentary at the Tribeca Film Festival, and he capitulated and refused to air it. At that point in time, the tiny bit of respect I had for him because of his autism stance, I was against him. I said, I'm done with this guy. He's completely and totally compromised. Now, here's a guy who's probably worth $100 million. It wasn't going to affect his life one bit if he put a movie, he released this movie at the Tribeca Film Festival because he believes in it, supposedly, and he compromised. But yet here he is, and Piers Morgan's even hammering him and saying that he would rather destroy the United States and get America sucked into a war and into a recession than for Trump to succeed in the next 2 years. Now, guys, I have to say, for the first time in my adult life since I've ever seen Piers Morgan, I agree with what he just said. Now, I don't know why he's doing this, probably because his ratings are so low in the United States that he's trying to build himself back up as far as with the patriot community, but he was absolutely right. Now, Bill Maher, he basically, he's interesting. A lot of the stuff that he says, especially when it comes to corporate America and what's going on with the drugs and the pharmaceuticals, I agree with. But when these liberals get to that point where their hatred is seething against the sitting president of the United States, I find it very, very egregious. And why? Because I have a friend of mine, his wife, after he's basically conservative, his wife's a liberal. He says they never talk politics or they fight, just argue. She broke down and cried hysterically for almost 3 weeks after Trump won the election. I mean, hysterically crying, sobbing, on the bed, on the floor, wherever she started thinking about it. It was like ridiculous. Finally, he had to fuss at her and say, this is stupid. You are no longer productive. Your entire life is being centered around this. Guys, when the gay Kenyan won the first election, let me be straight with you guys for a second. I so despised George W. because of what he did. Okay, with the Patriot Act, National Defense Authorization Act, because of what his involvement with the trade towers were, bringing us in the war with Afghanistan, bringing us in the war with Iraq, all of it. Okay, that when the gay Kenyan came into power, I thought, God, he can't do any worse than George W. And I thought, oh, well, the people have spoken. And I thought, I didn't vote for the Gay Canyon, but they didn't really get with it. McCain was such a disaster. I thought, but I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna let it go, and I'm just gonna just hope for the best. I didn't fall in some heap, crying, screaming, hollering, carrying on like the world was coming to an end. And then we basically had his second term. And by that time, we knew how unbelievable corrupt he was. But remember, he's not the one doing this. I'm going to say this again. It's the Rothschild banking cartel, the Sabbatean Kabbalists, and here we go. I'm going to say something I should not have said. A lot of these extreme Zionists who are coming in and promoting this Third World War agenda and this military state of the United States attacking all of these countries. And Obama did the same thing Bush did, who did the same thing Clinton did, who did the same thing that Bush did, all the way back to Reagan, who didn't want to have any part of any of this stuff, but then the CIA ran his entire administration for 8 years after he was shot 30 days in the office, and George Bush ran that. No reason George Bush ran for president to start with, because he had basically been the de facto president for 8 years, is he wanted to have his name as a president of the United States. Remember, I know all these guys. And see, it's so frustrating to me now when Trump comes in and wants to fix this mess. It's like Gerald Celente said a few weeks ago, Donald Trump, if he doesn't do anything right, he's at least trying to get some kind of level footing for our trade deals. I mean, we have a 270% tariff on dairy products going into Canada, but Canada doesn't want any tariffs from them for their products going back into the United States. I mean, and like Trump said at his last meeting with the G7, basically he refused to go by the final resolution, walked out, but he also said to them while he's in the meeting, he said, look guys, here's the deal. Why don't we just zero out the tariffs all the way across the board? You don't charge us tariffs, we don't charge you tariffs, we have open trade. They won't do it because they want to have the protectionism and they don't want our products being put into their countries, now, which is ridiculous because our manufacturing sector has gone to crap. We can barely produce anything now in the United States in any kind of volume. So it would be great for our manufacturing sector, but they don't want to compete against the United States on a level footing. Here's what they've done. They've taken the wealth of the Protestant work ethic, which built the United States of America. Here we go now. Here we go. You guys stay with me now. He's taken the wealth of the Protestant work ethic over hundreds of years in the United States, and they've basically sucked the money out of the United States over the past 100 years with these massive trade deficits, in which we've got to borrow the money to subsidize all these other countries and companies around the world through our deficit spending in order to enrich all of these other countries, including China, Japan, Germany, France, England, all of them, because of the doggone crappy trade deals that we've put together. And if Trump can do anything, Austin, if he just zeroes out the playing field so that we all can trade as much as we want without having tariffs put on our products that are going overseas. I remember a few years ago, I bought a Mercedes SUV for Sharon. And I remember I talked to the dealer and they said, well, you have to keep the car for at least a year. It was a diesel Mercedes 350 GL. I said, why? And they said, well, we have them being exported into China for triple the sticker price of the United States due to tariffs going into China on these cars. Triple. And I thought, whoa, that's nuts. That's how bad it is with the stuff going into China. And guys, it doesn't get any better than that with the doggone countries in Europe. And if this is what Trump is trying to say to these guys, why do you think we should extract the wealth of our country as we've done now for over 100 years? In 1913, we were the largest creditor nation in the world. In other words, everybody owed us money. We had basically hardly any national debt. But that wasn't good enough for Samuel Untermeyer. That wasn't good enough for Woodrow Wilson. That wasn't good enough for Colonel House. That wasn't good enough for the Rothschild banking cartels. That wasn't good enough for J.P. Morgan and all these lowlifes that put this protocol together to make us borrow our money at interest, never put the interest into circulation, making it impossible to pay the national debt off and get it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Truth be told, we're national debt's over $100 trillion in the United States, cannot be paid back. Physically impossible, but nobody cares. Because why? Because the government continues to give half the population of the country government subsidies, welfare checks, compensation for not doing any work. It goes on and on and on. We've got over 100 million people right now in the United States that are employable who are not employed, and over 50 million of them getting government subsidies. Guys, this is what's going on with Europe. This is what's going on around the country. Trump sees this, and I stand with him on this issue to get these tariffs level and even across the board for the United States of America. How do you feel, Austin?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it really is such a breakdown. And there's something that I wanted to really talk about as a real movie disclaimer that I found out about this weekend. I got another email about it today. There's a movie that just came out now, and I'm kind of switching gears here because it's real. I need to talk about this before the show's over with. As you guys know, when most kids are younger, a lot of times they have dogs. I know when I grew up, I had a Alaskan Malamute that basically I grew up with. He was a blast. I could hang out with him. I could jump on him. I could ride him. He did nothing but love me and protect me. He was a great dog. Hunter's the same way. I have two blue-nosed pits. They absolutely love him. They're super protective over him. He can do pretty much anything he wants, including hit them in the face with fly swatters, and they do absolutely nothing but just give him love. My whole point in saying this, why? Is because most children, when they grow up with dogs, they relate to dogs as their social peers sometimes. They hang out with other kids. They go to, you know, maybe daycare. They go to church. They go to Awana. But dogs are always their good friends that are always around the house. They go out in the backyard. They play all the time. That's just very, very common. Well, there's a movie that just came out recently called Show Dogs. It's a PG-rated film, but it's basically kind of similar to like Homeward Bound. And I thought about taking Hunter to it because he just loves dogs. I mean, he's got stuffed animal dogs. He's got our dogs. He loves dogs. Pretty normal for a two-year-old boy. So I got, heard something about it last week, and I didn't really do much follow-up on it because I've just been so busy. I got another email about it today, and I looked at some stuff over the weekend, and I found this to be actually very, very troubling. The yep. movie Show Dogs, which basically is a kids movie, it's a blatant kids movie. I've watched subsections of it that some people sent me over the weekend, and it's basically about Max. He's a talking police dog. All the dogs in the movie talk like they do, like, you know, not even like Homeward Bound. They're actually mouths moving and everything else. So he's a talking police dog who's basically paired with a human partner, and they have to infiltrate a prestigious dog show and rescue a kidnapped baby panda. He's basically a tough Rottweiler from New York. He's this real alpha dog, you know, real strong alpha type A Rottweiler. He's basically got no business competing in a dog show, but he supposedly uses his street smarts to get in this so he can find out about this panda. Well, where the movie gets really, really dark and disturbing is when they start bringing up a topic about genital basically checking on the dogs before a show. Now, at first, when I first heard about this, I thought it was like one part of the movie. It is not. It's an ongoing issue throughout the entire movie that essentially the alpha character, Max, has to deal with. Since the inspection of the private parts happened in the final, Max's owner has to basically touch his private parts to get him used to it throughout the entire movie. Of course, Max does not like this at all. Max is then told by a former champion that he has to go through this, everybody does, and he needs to go to his zen place or his happy place in order to get through it. So in essence, what happens to the whole show is Max has to allow himself to be groped and have his private parts touched, or else he will lose the competition and fail. The whole premise of what this movie goes on is what is called grooming, and it is what sexual predators do to kids on a regular basis. Is they That's slowly right. get them basically desensitized. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about that. This is okay. This is normal. Don't worry about this. You just have fun, relax, sit back. So the days of the final come. Max isn't okay with his private parts still being touched after having numerous times in the movie. Finally, the judge slowly reaches his hand under there and basically grabs his genitals, and then at this time, Max goes into his happy place. He goes into this in the sky, dancing around with his friends, fireworks and flowers, and it's all great, all while somebody is basically groping him. Now, the weird part about this, it's even weirder, I didn't realize this until I watched it, this happens like four times throughout the movie. In slow-mo, they lift Max's tail, then he reaches under there to basically grab his scrotum. You only see his butt, but you obviously see where they're grabbing and where it's going. Then the scene where the official doing it is extremely long, and again, in slow-mo, and super, super creepy. This is incredibly disturbing, because any child that's watching this is going to go, why are they doing that? Oh, well, that's okay. He's trying to win the show. Oh, he's trying to get, you know, figure out what's going on. He's trying to find the panda. It's okay that they're basically going there and grabbing him, and he doesn't like it, but he slowly gets used to it, and he goes to his happy place. Guys, this is a full-blown, 100% pedophile propaganda, desensitization of little children to make them think it's okay to be groped and molested, all in the greater good of you doing what you need to do and going to your happy place to have it done. I went and read reviews on this movie last night, and I'm talking hundreds of parents on different review places have been hammering this movie because they took their children to go see it and had no idea this was in the film. And even worse, the company Global Road Entertainment, that basically was the picture studio for it, announced that they were actually going to pull the movie from theaters and re-edit it to remove the offensive scenes. As of today, as far as I have found, the scenes still remain. They have not pulled them. Now they're saying that they're going to remove the scenes when it goes to DVD, or they're going to make them basically the uncut scenes, the edited scenes that they pull out of them. Regardless of the fact that these scenes were repeatedly pushed in the film over and over and over again, not just once, not just twice, but four times, shows you this was not an accident they were placed in the film. They're not there to show you that a dog needs to have his genitals checked before he goes into a dog show, which is completely new premise. There's no reason to even bring that up in a child's film. And the fact that they made this one of the prime obstacles that the alpha Rottweiler has to overcome and eventually submits to at the end of the film is extremely troubling to me, Dad. So I wanted to make sure anybody else out there, any parents or family, they're thinking about taking this movie, as far as their kids see this film, they know what they're getting into, and they choose not to go do this if they know exactly what's in this film, Dad.
You know, Austin, again, it's to completely condition the children to go through TSA.
Yep.
It's to condition the children that if someone decides that they want to have an affair with that child, that it's okay to need to go to their happy place for all the pedophile rings that are surrounding the country who control Hollywood. Just thought I'd mention that to you real quick. I mean, that's just something that we need to think about. And, you know, all the child trafficking that's occurring all over the world that's run out of Tel Aviv. Although that's right, I'm not supposed to say that either. And guys, this is something that's very, very important that we understand. We have to protect our children. Now, talking about protecting your children, another story about a blue-nosed pit. Pit bull tries to save baby from the house fire by carrying her by the diaper. This was over in Stockton, California. An eight-month-old pit bull, basically a hero pup, grabbed a seven-month-old little girl when their house was on fire by the diaper and tried to carry her to safety, heading to the door with the baby in the diaper when the mom was able to grab the baby and get out of the house before they were all burned alive. Guys, you know, I tell you what, pit bulls have gotten a lot of bad publicity. And quite frankly, I never liked pit bulls because of the publicity. Austin has two pits. He has two children. And they're also called the nanny dog. I didn't know that. Pit bulls are like any other dogs in most cases. They're bred a certain way. They're treated a certain way. And if they're bred and treated to fight and to basically be very, very aggressive animals to everybody who they see, they'll do that. Same thing with Rottweilers. Same thing with German Shepherds. Same thing with anything that's basically an aggressive attack dog. But you can also train them to be nanny dogs and dogs that love the kids. So, guys, it's one of those things. It's just that this pit bull, and I believe in the same thing. I mean, I know that Austin's dogs think these kids belong to them, and they would protect them with their lives. And so I wanted just to say that very quickly because he told you guys that he had pits. These are not the mean pits that run around basically trying to do bad things to people except for burglars. They don't like burglars at all, and they really don't like people coming into the yard at night, and they really don't like people who they don't know coming into yards. But that's just something that a lot of animals are like. By the way, hundreds of African migrants have stormed Spain's border now, trying to force themselves into Spain. The guards are facing knives and unusual violence. This is Ceuta and Melilla, our Spanish territories in North Africa, and EU's only land borders with Africa, allowing passage from Morocco. An estimated 400 migrants charged the border in early hours of May the 6th, with only six making it across to claim asylum. The city official reported the guards were having to contend with young, physically fit migrants who were basically military age, using handmade knives and willing to deploy unusual violence to achieve their aim. In other words, to get to the country of Spain and to be able to say now and claim sanctuary. Guys, this is the same kind of nonsense that we do in the United States when we allow pregnant people to come into the United States illegally and have a baby, and now that baby has become a ward of the United States of America and is an American citizen, and now they can stay there through chain migration. It happens all the time. By the way, Ron Paul is blocked from ending indefinite detention of Americans. Good old Lindsey Graham. Ron Paul is trying to end the U.S. government's power to indefinitely detain Americans because it violates the Constitution's right to a speedy and public trial. He is seeking support of a new authorization for the use of Military Force Act because he sees the existing version as a blank check for costly and unfettered war. In the meantime, he has introduced the amendment to an existing bill to partially achieve his objective, the inclusion of the amendment in the GOP package to be attached to the Military One spending bill requires constant consent from all senators, but is short by only one vote, which would be, of course, the purse-carrying effeminate Lindsey Graham. So there he is. That's the boy who basically likes to do it. Him and Obama need to be buddies. And so in the conclusion of the amendment of the GOP package to be attached to the new military bill spending bill requires constant consent from all senators, but is short by one vote, believed to belong to, here we go, Senator Lindsey Graham, retired colonel. In the past, he has supported indefinite detainment and has opposed limiting the president's ability to conduct war without the consent of Congress. Guys, what an unbelievable mess that Lindsey Graham even is in the doggone Senate, much less continues to get reelected. Austin, what do you think?
All I can say is, man, we need to drain the swamp. That's what we've been asking for. That's what we voted Trump in for. And I mean, these guys need to be voted out of there. And I mean, we got to do the best we can. I mean, we have the elections this year. I mean, this is stuff that when we have to be very, very, very aggressive with, because these guys do not serve any place in this country as far as politics when they do not represent the people of this country. That's it. If they do not support a constitutional republic, if they do not support the patriots of this country that are trying to keep this country alive and together, then they don't need to be in office. These career politicians that make $185,000 a year as their retirement funds after they've served, you know, two years in the Senate. It's a joke. I mean, this is a joke. And the thing about it is, the problem is, you have to understand, a lot of people go, well, you know, there would have been limits on this and limits on that. The whole aspect that nobody understands is that when the government was formed, they did not expect it to anybody to ever want to be in politics. Being in politics, being a senator, being a congressman, was not some extremely prestigious, oh my gosh, I can make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, I can basically make all these bonuses, I can get these kickbacks, I can get all this lobbying money, I get all this stuff all the time, these campaign funds, I can do whatever I want, I get free health care. They didn't have that in the late 1700s. It was literally almost a duty as a responsibility to serve your country, to represent the people in your area that you lived. So you were not a full-time senator or full-time congressman. You worked. You were a blacksmith, or you were a gun maker, or you worked on wheels. There's 50,000 different things you did back then. You're a farmer. Then they went and traveled and did different things as far as in the government, as they were elected by the people to support them. And after they did their time, they were done. They wanted other people to go in and constantly keep the revolving door of fresh people being elected that were supporting the people that they were elected by. The problem is, once Congress realized that they could essentially act above the law, they could vote themselves unlimited raises, they could opt out of health care, they didn't have to follow any type of guidelines that anybody else in this country is basically restricted by, they could stay in as long as they wanted, they could have lifelong retirement, they realized, hey, this is a pretty good gig. I basically make, you know, almost $250,000 a year, just my salary, not including all the health care benefits.
That's
right. I can get Secret Service detail. I can literally live above the law, pretty much do anything I want. If I get arrested, I pretty much immediately get released because no police department wants to deal with arresting a U.S. sitting senator. I mean, honestly, I mean, there's no police department's going to go, yeah, we really want to take on this case right now. Get the prosecuting attorney. We're going to prosecute a U.S. sitting senator. No, they can pretty much do whatever they want to do. And that's what we have happening now, is these guys are simply tools as a globalist pawns to do their bidding, and they've completely and totally corrupted the internal aspects of the United States government. And that's why Trump said drain the swamp. That's what it's turned into, is a swamp, and we still have not had that happen yet. Hillary still's running around, Obama's still running around, all these guys are doing whatever they want to do, and that we just have to keep pressing that we can expose these guys for what they really are. Also, too, in other news with Big Brother, as we see Google essentially being the long arm of the future police force as far as with the internet control, Google now will be adding words like gun grips, scopes, and sites to a list of prohibited AdWords later this month. The search engine will also be banning any AdWords that deal with 3D printing of guns or gun parts, including instructions of firearm parts. Google announced their new changes in an email. Subject line reads, Google AdWords policy update, change to dangerous products or service policy. Breitbart possesses the email, which provides a non-exhaustive list of examples of products for which ads will no longer be allowed. Those include stocks, conversion kits, scopes, sights, tripods, bipods, gun grips, gun making instructions, gun making software, gun making equipment for 3D printing of guns or gun parts. Google's AdWord policy change comes after months after YouTube announced it will be banning all gun demonstration videos and following Facebook's extreme prohibition on gun ads and sales. The Google war on guns is a direct attack on our gun ownership, and it is not slowing down. Here's what you have to understand, guys. A lot of people go, well, just don't use Google. And I absolutely 100% agree with you. I don't use Google. I use DuckDuckGo. I don't use Google. Google tracks everything you do. Not to mention, they're one of the most biased search engines you can look for. You start looking up stuff on, like, real alternative news, they block it all out. Do you ever notice if you look anything up in Google, almost the first thing to ever show up under news is CNN. First time, first search, bam, up top, every time, every time. CNN. There's a reason why they do that, because they push their agenda. Secondly, what people don't realize is Google has become so big now and so prevalent, and the more people use it, and the more people pay money to it, and the more people pay for ads on it, and the more we support it, the more they become this futuristic dystopian nightmare as far as being a complete and total globalist regime. And what I'm saying is with that is the reason why they're doing this now, it's not because a lot of people in Google are 100% against guns. I guarantee you a lot of the people that work at Google could care less about guns. They're probably, we don't like this or we don't like that, but they could really care less. Google is being used to slowly desensitize, just like I was talking earlier, to everybody about guns. So in the future, once they start shutting down all these alternative media sites, once they shut down all these different search engines, Google will simply not allow you to find anything on guns. This will completely control and dictate what our younger generation can even look at and search for online when it comes to firearms, parts, sights, grips, etc. You name it, it's going to be blocked. They already know that this generation right now, my generation, 30, 40-year-olds, we're not going to go down without a significant fight. I mean, it's going to be an aggressive one. However, the next generation behind us, about two generations behind us, like Hunter's generation, if we do not raise them the way they need to be raised and teach them the truth, they are going to be fully and totally brainwashed into coming into this new world order and being good little slaves that do not like guns because guns are bad. Why are guns bad? Because Google said they're bad and big government said they're bad and we're not allowed to touch guns or else we go to jail. And we don't want to go to jail, do we? No, so we don't touch guns. That's what they're instilling in the mindset. The same time that they're showing kids that it's okay to be groped and have your genitals grabbed. You just need to go to a happy place because Max, the alpha Rottweiler in the movie, he went ahead and did it because it was for the greater good to find the lost panda. So if he did it, we should do it and not basically care and just submit about having our genitals groped. That is where all this is headed, guys.
And you know, also the guy who's the producer or the director or who pushed the groping of the genitalia in that movie, he is one sick person. I could say something else, but I'm not. I mean, I don't like people who do stuff like that and try to intentionally do things to little children and make them think it's okay. By the way, San Francisco launches the app to clean up biohazards on the subway. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to have on our jukebox, I Left My Heart in San Francisco by Tony Bennett. You know, I left my heart. I mean, I can't sing it, I'd sing it for you. And I used to love that song. And I remember the first time I went to San Francisco was like in 1981. And I thought, wow, what a beautiful, beautiful city. And I thought the city by the bay, and it was stunning. I mean, with the Fisherman's Wharf, we stayed there in a really, really nice hotel. We were on a business convention. And I thought, wow, this place is pretty cool. Not anymore. San Francisco has the most expensive housing in America, which has led to a rise in the homeless population who are living on the streets, creating a problem with human feces and waste on the streets, including needles and drug addict paraphernalia. The city is now offering a new app to report feces and needles left behind by drug addicts on the floors inside the Bay Area Rapid Transit Station, and instead of creating a solution for the homeless problem. In other words, if they're going to poop and leave their needles everywhere, that's okay. We'll just clean it all up rather than trying to fix the issue of these homeless people all over the city now. So the city by the bay has become the city with a bunch of poop and needles all over the place, which apps are being used to clean this mess up. How disgusting is that? By the way, more on the Gaza border, more Palestinian protests, and again, the Israeli snipers are again using live rounds and killing the women and children. Four Palestinian protesters were killed, and about 100 more were wounded on Friday in the 11th consecutive week of clashes along the border between the Gaza Strip and southern Israel. One of the victims who was killed was a 15-year-old little boy. Of course, I can't say he's a little boy. He could have been 6 foot tall. Who knows? Another protester was shot in the face with a tear gas canister that literally had to be surgically removed. There have been 126 Palestinians killed, with over 3,600 wounded by live ammunition in the last few weeks. Palestinian protesters have been throwing rocks and burning tires, and so they get shot. So, guys, again, what a mess. I mean, you know, and don't get me wrong. I got it. But just think of the unbelievable, just vicious attack that would be on the United States if we lined our guys up on the border of Mexico, our troops, and just started shooting people across the border because they were wanting to come across to our side to prevent them from crossing into our country. It would be unfathomable, the beating that we would take by the media. But yet, Israel just gets a pass. It's unbelievable this is happening all of the time. By the way, something unprecedented has happened at Bilderberger, suggesting there's something unprecedented about to happen in the world, and here's what it is. The Bilderberger meeting in Turin, Italy over the weekend fell on the same dates as the G7 meeting that included leaders from the U.S., Germany, etc. But a primary focus on both groups was what to do about Russia and how to topple the Iranian government. Unbelievable. The sheer number of top-level global leaders at Bilderberger this year was staggering, including a cardinal from the Vatican. Remember, guys, I told you, the unholy alliance between the Vatican, the Mafia, and the CIA. Okay? Russia and China also held a policy planning meeting on the same days. It is apparent that the world is coalescing into two opposing military alliances, both of which are considering war as a likely resolution of their differences. We are expected to support one side and oppose the other, but both sides embrace collectivism and oppose each other, not over ideology, but only on who will dominate. There are no good guys in any of these discussions when it gets to this level, as far as I'm concerned and G. Edward Griffin is concerned. Guys, I want to thank you so much for listening to the show today. You guys are awesome. I hope you don't mind us telling you some of our personal stories and things that have happened to us over the past and things that we have been involved in. Why? Because, quite frankly, it's what we do. You guys are family, and we like to talk to you about all of this stuff. But I appreciate you. I had the opportunity to pray for you again today, pray for you guys over the weekend. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for being here and basically getting your vitamins from us and your multiple vitamins from us. We produce the highest quality supplements in the world as far as I'm concerned. I personally take these products. If I could make a better product, I would. I give them to my family and to my grandchildren. If I could make a better product, I would. I can't. Everything we do to ensure the highest quality product is being done. That's why when you take our products, you feel so good and the energy levels are so high. That's why we guarantee you try our products. Just try the multiple vitamin for 30 days, either powder or capsule. And if you don't feel 100% better in 30 days, just return the unused portion of the product to us if you're a new time customer, and we'll be more than happy to refund it for you. That's how we look at life, because we treat people the way we want to be treated. Guys, I appreciate you. I love you. Austin, I'll do the write-up. I'll go ahead and I'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely. And also, too, guys, this is just ironic, because I remember, you know, I talked about this in detail all this year, especially last year. His Bitcoin now has dropped to another new low, $6,700 today from its high of almost $20,000 towards the beginning of the year. And, you know, this wasn't one of those things that I wanted to be right about at all. But I told you guys, when you start dealing with cryptocurrencies and you start dealing with digital transactions, they're completely they're unstable. There's no telling of what they're going to do. And I talked to so many people that were maxing out credit cards, that were basically basically taking out loans. They were getting mortgages out on their house. I mean, it was absolutely out of control to buy into this stuff, because it was going to be at $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 a coin by the end of the year. And now it's literally dropped to almost $6,000 a coin. And I told everybody before, silver and gold have been tested through time. If you want to invest in something, forget about all this dot-com bubble nonsense. Forget about all these stock market. Forget about all this garbage that everybody loses millions and billions of dollars in every year. Put your money in a solid asset like metals or food or ammo or guns, something that is not going to do anything but appreciate in value over the years. So you have to look at that when you're making investments, and don't get wrapped up in these, oh my gosh, it's going to make me so much money kind of deals, because this is exactly what it was, in my opinion, from the very beginning. It was a digital currency beta test to see how the world population was going to accept something. These guys, when we talked about it, literally 98% of Bitcoin was owned by only a very, very fraction of the people. Literally a couple dozen people own almost all of it, and they made billions off everybody from essentially siphoning their funds. So be sure and always be careful not to fall into a lot of stuff like this. If it's digital, if you can't touch it, if you can't hold it, if you can't put it in your safe and it doesn't retain its value, if you can't shoot it, if you can't eat it, if you can't physically sell it for something right now without having to get permission to access it, you do not want to mess with it. And that's what I've told so many people for years. That's why I've always tried to be very consistent with my investments and building things, because there's absolutely no reason to get wrapped up in this new world order digital currency. Because guys, this is what they're doing. They're slowly desensitizing the world population to a one world digital currency. The entire world cannot be controlled on a paper society, paper monetary system. The cash is too hard to keep control of. It's too hard to keep it from going into basically black ops. It's too hard to keep it from people using it on the black market and buying guns and ammo under the table. The same thing with metals. That's why these guys are buying up metals left and right. I mean, look at China. Look at Russia. They're buying it by the metric ton of gold. Every time they get an extra penny, they're dumping it in gold right now. There's a reason why they're doing that. And it's not because they just want to have gold sitting in their safe so they feel cool. They know what this stuff is going to do in the future when gold hits $5, $10, $20,000 an ounce and people are scrambling to buy it and they actually have physical possession of it. So I appreciate everything, guys. Thank you for the support. Be sure to check out the website at healthmasters.com. The Ultimate Multiple Fit Food Vegan is on sale right now for over 20% off online. And also, too, the B-Complex Super Sale is still online on our website at healthmasters.com. And be sure to check all that out. If you need anything, email us, call us, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.